Last Friday, President Bush turned to an old family advisor to lead the effort to restructure Iraq's estimated $120 billion debt. Longtime Texas friend James Baker III served as Secretary of State in the first Bush administration and as Secretary of the Treasury under President Reagan. During the 2000 Florida recount, the Republican Party called upon him to be the legal advisor to President Bush's campaign in overseeing the recount. His new job will be no cakewalk. He'll be trying to get the international community to agree on a complex debt restructuring plan for Iraq. Joining us now on the phone to help us understand what all this means is Vinny Aggarwal, who's written widely about debt restructuring and political economy. He usually teaches at the University of California at Berkeley, but he's spending this year as a fellow at the Woodrow Wilson Center here in Washington, D.C., and he joins us from there. Good to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you very much.
What does it mean that President Bush is bringing James Baker in for this job?
Well, I think he's looking for someone who's a politician, a lawyer, a diplomat, and a financial expert, and I think he's found one.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you think he needed someone who has a variety of skills given the complexity of debt rescheduling, which is very political, very complex financially, and then requires a great deal of tact.
Explain what kind of debt that Iraq has.
Well, Iraq's debt is mainly to other governments, including Britain and France, Germany, a number of Arab countries, and to the United States as well. It's primarily government-to-government debt, as well as debt that was contracted when Iraq was engaging a lot of rebuilding and restructuring, as well as during the Saddam Hussein regime.
Now, there is, as I understand it, two kinds of debt, what you were just talking about. There's also about maybe another $100 billion worth of perhaps war reparations.
Yeah, that's another issue. I don't think that's going to be discussed as much, but the war reparations go back to, of course, the war, the invasion of Kuwait, and that's been going on for some time, and Iraq has been making repayments on that debt.
And as I understand it, there are two categories of debtors in the first category of debt, the sort of governmental debt, and those are members of the Paris Club of France, Russia, Germany, and Britain, and I guess the United States, and those who are not members of the Paris Club.
That's right. In fact, well, there are a number of members of the Paris Club. There are 19 members, including Russia, for example, which in itself is a big debtor. And then there are a number of countries outside it, including Arab countries. And actually, the bulk of debt is owed to countries outside the Paris Club.
Now, France and Russia, I think they think they're owed about $8 billion apiece. So far, they have been adamant about saying they want that money back.
Well, there are good reasons for that. It's interesting that Baker is a very good politician and also was a very good Secretary of Treasury. But at the time that they had the debt crisis in Latin America, from 85 to 88, his position was consistently that there should be a market-based solution and was very reluctant to have any debt write-downs. And after 1988, with the Brady Plan, 1989, there, in fact, were debt write-downs of 35%. But when it came to Russia more recently in the last 3 years, Russia was not given any concessions on its debt. So it might be a little spite on the part of the Russians saying, why should we write down Iraq's debt when you didn't write down ours?
And some are speculating that in terms of France, there might be a little spite at the United States and the way the France, of course, opposed the policy of going to war in the first place. The foreign ministry spokesman in Paris said this week that finding a way to reduce Iraq's debt will not be easy, hard to negotiate with something that he says is not a sovereign country.
Yeah, I think that's a bit misleading. I think you can negotiate with somebody who's not a sovereign country, but in any case, there is there's a council in Iraq. The issue, I think, for the French is that they would like to have a say in who rules Iraq. And debt has always been linked to security issues, to political issues. So it's not particularly surprising that the French are engaging this kind of issue linkage and saying, well, you know, maybe we can talk about debt reduction if we talk about who's going to rule Iraq.
Let's get a caller involved. This is Galinde, who joins us from Boulder, Colorado.
Yes, my question is, shouldn't the restructuring of Iraq's debt be the task of the World Bank?
Well, I think that's a good point. The World Bank, in fact, has asked that two-thirds of the debt be written down. But government-to-government debt is different, and that is up to each individual government. The World Bank deals with its own debt, and they, of course, have to make their own decisions as to how much to write down. They can make a recommendation, but, of course, they can't force the Russians to write down their debt or the French to write down their debt since they've made their own loans to Iraq.
Okay. I still feel with Baker and his affiliation to the Carlyle Group, it seems to me since Bush couldn't get the oil field through military means, maybe it's through Baker and the Carlyle Group.
Oh, well, I'm not sure that's really what's going on. I do think there is a problem, however, in some of Bush's statements where he said the future of the Iraqi people should not be mortgaged to the enormous burden of debt incurred in the, to enrich Saddam Hussein's regime. By precedent, dictators have often incurred lots of debt, and the U.S. has not been willing to write down that debt because they were incurred under a dictatorship. So I think many countries say, well, there doesn't seem to be a great deal of consistency here. On the one hand, Argentina and Brazil incurred a lot of debt under their dictators, but when they said we should have debt write-downs, the U.S. was very reluctant.
There is, as you mentioned, also another group of countries that has owned a big part of the debt, and that is non-Paris Club members. These are mostly, as I understand it, Arab states, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia?
Right, that's correct. And I think they have their own political concerns. They also are very interested in who will be running Iraq in the future and trying to have input into that. So debt provides an easy leverage for various countries to try to link their concerns, which may range from Russian concerns about its own debt to French concerns about who rules Iraq to Arab concerns about what the composition of the coalition will be that eventually rules Iraq.
Now let's talk about this position as envoy. James Baker is going to be obviously a powerful man. He's not been shy about stepping up to the forefront in any of his previous roles.
Right.
He'll be reporting direct to the president?
Yes, he's going to be reporting directly to the president, and I think there's some issues here with respect to the Treasury. The Treasury has been advocating, for example, a very market-based solution to debt rescheduling, including in the case of Argentina. And I think there was some concern in the administration that it wasn't really going anywhere in this case. And in fact, the IMF under Ann Kruger had proposed a new plan to write down debts for developing countries, and that was essentially shot down by the U.S. Treasury. So I think bringing in a fresh face is pretty important here if you want to deal with these debt issues, especially if you're seeking write-downs when previously you were saying write-downs should not be made.
Some people are saying that John Snow, who's the Secretary of the Treasury, might feel that his act is getting a little crowded, and others are saying, no, it's Colin Powell, the Secretary of State, who should worry that somebody's crowding his act.
Well, when you have a special envoy who represents a president, I mean, we're talking both about finance and security and politics. So I think everyone is always concerned in Washington that just came here. But I think the issue here is really how one might resolve and deal with these countries. And I think turf is always going to be an issue.
James Baker played a huge part in putting together the coalition that fought the first Gulf War. Do you think he's going to, be able to get some of that old team spirit back together again on this debt issue?
I think he will, but I think the U.S. has to develop a consistent position on debt rescheduling. I mean, you can't tell the Russians on the one hand that we don't believe in debt rescheduling, tell the Latin Americans, well, for you, 35% is enough, tell the Poles, 50% is good for you, whereas African countries got 100%. What is the rule? What is the procedure? How are we doing this? It just looks very opportunistic if you don't really have a set of rules and guidelines, and other countries simply say, well, the U.S. just decides in this case that everybody should write down their debt, which is very convenient since most of the debt is not owned by the U.S.
And this is why it was so critical for President Bush in that last Iraqi supplemental, the $86 billion, that the money for Iraq not be a loan.
That's right. And I think this is the problem of building a coalition. I mean, we really see now that if you just take unilateral actions, you do run into these issues where it's good to have a coalition. Debt is always a collective action problem. Everybody would like to get repaid. No one wants to write down their debt on their own unless you build a big package. And I think Baker is fully capable of assembling a big coalition, but it's going to be a very hard job to get all these countries to agree and make sure that nobody sort of defects and tries to cut their own private deal.
We just have a few seconds left, but after all is said and done, you think these countries are really going to get their money back?
I think they're going to get part of their money back. I don't think they're going to get all of their money back. I would find that really incredible, given that in the Yugoslavian case, for example, there was a 2/3 debt write-down, and in Poland there was a 50% debt write-down. So I really don't think they even expect to get their full debt back. But I do think there will be a lot of discussion getting to that point, which is, of course, a highly political issue.
Vinny Agarwal, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Vinny Agarwal, a fellow at the Woodrow Wilson Center. His newest book is called Sovereign Debt, Origins, Crises, and Restructuring, and he was with us from his office here in Washington. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.